Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The world has changed, and Microsoft Teams is there to help us stay connected. Teams is the safe and secure way to chat, meet, call, and collaborate. To learn more, visit Microsoft.com/Teams.
From the shores of Malibu, where the waves are pumping, to the Great Wall of China, and back to the streets of Edmonton, Canada, where the UFC is coming. We are live. This is It's Time Radio, the show where we talk about what you think about but may be afraid to voice. Do not worry. We will voice it for you. We talk about everything on It's Time. News, politics, President Trump, film, TV, UFC, sex, drugs, rock and roll. It's No Holds Barred Radio, folks. And we are here today with a very special show again. And a special guest again, as that's what we do when it's time. I'm here with my co-host, TJ DeSantis. TJ, you're good? Everything ready?
Always good, Buff. Always good.
That's awesome. We got a lot to talk about, but more importantly, I want to bring our guest on. This is a very, very good friend of mine for many, many years. See him all the time at Goals. The man is just consistently one of the most amazing fitness bodybuilders. You can name it, personal trainer, model. This man's done everything. And we'll go into what that means and what it's all about.
Total Wine & More announces points with a purpose. Now through September 13th, collect 5x points on wines and spirits. Points earned equals a matching donation to local charities. Up to $2 million in total. Shop with us today or visit TotalWine.com. Terms and conditions apply.
Let's bring on man extraordinaire, Superman, superhero, because he looks like it when he walks down the street, Mike O'Hearn. Hi, Mike. How are you?
Oh, my brother. I'm good, my man. How you guys doing? You guys good?
Yeah, we're good. You know, I'm traveling like crazy. Where the hell was I last week? I was San Antonio, had a great show, Edmonton, Canada this week, Newark, New Jersey next week, and then the international travel begins. So on the road as a road warrior, which you do too, Mike, you just came off a big... Yeah. Give me 1 second. Let me give the people just a little background real quick. Everybody, this is why I want to have Michael on the show. Okay, Mike on the show, excuse me. Mike is an American bodybuilder, actor, personal trainer. He's a model. And when I say that, it's true because he's been featured on over, get this, TJ, 500 magazine covers. 500. He was a fitness model of the year 7 times. And one thing a lot of people remember from the show American Gladiators, Mike was on the original Gladiator from 1989 to 96 as Thor, the character Thor. And then you came out again in the 2008 series as Titan. And that's a very important word in your career. And he's the founder of Power Bodybuilding. And that's a training program that focuses on developing strength, hypertrophy, along with aesthetics. So, Mike.
Hey, real quick, Buff, can I just point that out? That's a hell of an accomplishment to be an American Gladiator in multiple decades.
It's awesome. I mean, how many, Mike, was anybody else on that show in the original that was on the second show, or are you the only one?
The only guy. The only man.
And did they contact you right away for that? Like, we're doing this, we want you back, or did you go after them?
You know what's cool is they called me up and said, hey, we're bringing it back, we want you on the show. And I said, no, but I'll try out again. And if I do well in the tryouts and I kick ass, then I'll take the show. So I said no to NBC about just walking on and getting my spot. I didn't feel that was fair. So I went on. We did a tryout, 275, and I beat everybody on all aspects of the tryouts. So then I got the show and became team captain of the new season. Seasons,
exactly. Now, yeah. Just out of curiosity, what was the hardest test they gave you in the tryout?
I was 275, so I'm competing against guys 200, 220 on pull-ups, and I did 36 pull-ups in 30 seconds, and the next closest guy was like 25.
All right, slow down and stop the truck. Yeah, 275 pounds, you do 36 pull-ups at less than a second each?
Yeah, nonstop, 36, bam, crushed it.
I'm going to the gym.
40. Yeah. And this is 20 years after being on the original. So that's I wanted to make a statement and just kind of show myself, you know. And you know me. This is about me competing against me. But if I'm going to get an offer, I want to earn it. I don't want to just have something handed to me.
My self-esteem is getting lower and lower with every word that Mike says.
Very admirable. Very. Did you say you ran a 4.8 40?
Yeah.
Mike, why don't you put on some pads and go to training camp? What's up with that?
I was a baller. I did. That's why we're good. Man, I am in Georgia, just so you guys understand. This the weather is playing with the Wi-Fi here. You know me for a long time. You know that I've been an athlete, born and raised, this whole gladiator mentality.
Right.
And my whole thing is about longevity. It wasn't just about winning the trophy the one day or winning Mr. Universe and then all show, no go. That was just never me.
Exactly. Now, you know, this developing of both strength, you know, when you're Titan crew that you put your, I want to know more about the Titan crew and the people that you're members, how you work with them, and explain the meaning behind hypertrophy along with aesthetics. Can you give us that, please?
Yeah. I mean, back in the day, I'm talking early on, when it was bodybuilders, and I'm talking about like the Steve Reeves days, the 50s and 60s, the great thing about those guys, and they lived a healthy life for 70, 80 years, is that they were not just strong. They were powerlifters and bodybuilders. And then the world got away from that. And then you got these guys that just want to be all show and no go. And you got into this whole concept of just lifting light and moving around the weights and have a beautiful physique, but there was nothing to it. There was no other aspect to it. And the reason why I don't do it that way and I teach not to do it that way is that's not longevity. You're creating something where you're only doing the surface, and where my stuff is more bone density and connective tissue. And so you see me lift, and you can back this up, or the people in the last 30 years have been coming through Golds. There's never a day that I was weak, even regardless of my dieting or slimming down or getting big. And that is the bone density and connective tissue. And you UFC fans will understand this. And I always talk about this. I always talk about, I'll take a 180-pound wrestler, and I'll put him up against a 280-pound bodybuilder. And the 180-pound wrestler will destroy the 280 bodybuilder. But we're talking two different things. We're talking about one guy looks so muscular and big, the world will assume that 280-pound bodybuilder will crush the 180-pound wrestler, which it's not true. The 180-pound wrestler has such strong connective tissue, mm-hmm. and that's true strength. That's man strength. Mm-hmm. And that is what's going to toss around the big boys. And so that's what my belief is in life, and that is longevity. Longevity is from the inside out. It's not just what you look like.
I have always agreed with that theory of thought. I train with that theory of thought. I try to eat consistently and do the other things needed to maintain the physique that you're talking about, because I'm all about core strength, inner strength, connective tissue. One thing I refer to when I see people working out at the gym and just pumping up and pumping up, I call it, I mean, I don't mean to insult anybody, but in my mind, I call it ice cream muscles. It's like just putting it on the outside, but there's nothing in the inside, like you're explaining, to support that. It's kind of like having a small heart and a big body. You know, it's not a balance.
I say it's a shiny car with a bad engine.
There you go.
It makes no sense. And I understand how, you know, mostly in today's world with social media, you want to look good. You want to have these great abs. But do you want to have it for a year or a couple years? Or do you want to be jacked and look like a superhero your whole life? That's a decision you need to make, and you need to make that as a young kid.
Absolutely agree. And the Titan crew that you have, how many? Yeah. I know on Instagram you have over 1 million followers. Yeah. And we will appreciate you telling people you were on the show, of course.
Absolutely.
And when we release it on Thursday, I'll give you a notice. Anyway, just playing, but totally serious. but with 1 million followers you have and building, as I've been following your Instagram for a while now, and it's really commendable. I mean, in the last few years, watching your progress is fantastic. How many members of the Titan crew do you are you a, how do you say, a Yoda for, as the teacher for, and the motivational person for? How many people are you working with?
I have over 30,000 worldwide.
Wow.
That are in the Titan crew, that are avid users of my system and training plans, and it's a nice crew, and it's a positive crew. That's the one main thing. More than working out, more than eating right, more than trying to be anything superior to others, it's about just being kind and about trying to help each other and build each other up is the number one principle of what I believe in.
And what does it say? Go ahead. Go ahead.
No, don't call me a goat head. What's up with that?
No, go ahead. I said, go ahead. Are you going to hit me when I see you? Come on now.
The number one thing is just to come in and want to work and try to be better. And it's the old philosophy of, Bruce Lee is observe, attempt and apply. Those basic things are the main things that I believe in, and that's how they become part of the Titan crew. And they work out with my program. So it's a great thing. And then I developed apps so they can do the program, they can do the nutrition and all that kind of stuff. So I get you said personal training, and back in the days, you can only work so much, and now I get to work with thousands of people every single day, which is amazing.
And do you impress upon them, which I'm sure you do, the importance of stretching and getting your body ready for these workouts?
Yeah, I do. I stay basic. I believe in basic works. I think what's happening is everybody is trying to go so advanced. And all I see is more and more injuries. And then on top of that, besides injuries, some things you're just trying to, whatever you're doing in your 20s and you're setting yourself up, can you maintain that into your 30s? Can you maintain that into your 40s? Is one of those big things that I try to teach early on. And the hardest thing for anybody, and you know this, you're an athlete, you're around the most extreme athletes in the world. Telling somebody less is more, that's a tough one to swallow.
Agreed.
But it really is. Less is more. And I had Rampage Jackson on my podcast, and we were talking about, hey, you ever overtrain? And I think you guys will fully understand this. And he goes, well, I overtrained a few times. And I go, Rampage, you overtrained every single day of your life. Mm-hmm. And UFC fighters have to. And that's unfortunate in one aspect because it breaks down the body. But the other aspect is that the nutrition has to be so much better for you guys, for all the UFC fighters, MMA fighters, because the amount of training they do is they have to train so much. So I just worry about the concept that the average Joe tries to follow or mimic that, when that's not going to be the best thing for the average Joe.
No, I agree with you completely. And, when you look at this, and you see what they go through, and then there's the pain aspect that comes from training. There's certain things. Do you preach CBDs to your Titans?
I do. It's great. It's great. Anything that, is new age in the sense of, and it's not harmful, is great stuff. And CBD is a great thing. And everybody gets owies. Everybody gets injuries. And the one thing I press upon people is don't stop. Continue to move forward. It's when I was training Michael Bisping, one of the things is he has one bad shoulder. And the one thing is we have to still train those shoulders the best we can. And we got to move around different exercises. So if we can't do shoulder press, we're going to do side laterals. If we can't do side laterals, we'll do rear delts. Still strengthen everything up around the shoulder. So the shoulder will get stronger within itself, and then it will take care of the owie or the injury. Go for it.
Which I totally agree with, because personally, and I've talked about the show or mentioned it before, I think we've discussed it too. I due to all the surfing I've done all my life, the martial arts, boxing, that's what the doctors told me, basically just staying in shape and leading a very active life. I'm one of those ones that suffers from basically almost no cartilage left in my shoulders. I've had the stem cell treatments and all, and I have to work around that. And my way that I do it is swimming, lifting the weights, like you said, in a way that's not damaging. But yep. I do boxing workouts underwater, swimming workouts, chest arm workouts underwater with resistance paddles or resistance things I hold in my hand. I get a great workout like that, and I'm not damaging my shoulders anymore. So when I go in the gym and I do my weightlifting, which I do two or three times a week to get the full balance of what I do, it pays off. I like to mix up my training, with kettlebells and And again, like I said, the swimming pool and the weights at Gold's and yoga, you know, when I can put it in there. I find that if I change, I don't get bored. And I try to mix it so everything feeds each other. Now you see me work out. Do you have any? Do you think I work out well? Or what
well,
you
let
see?
Me jump back for a sec. Jump back for a sec because everything you just said there is brilliant. Because you're mixing it up, but you're finding ways to still get the shoulder movement.
Right.
And the best thing for your body, regardless of the injury or the level of the injury, is two things. One is movement, and the second one is mentally knowing you can do some movements. Because you and I, with all of our appearances, and you hear about it all the time, the guy that comes up and goes, I got a bad back. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. How old are you? I'm 45. All right. And when did you hurt your back? In high school. I'm sorry. Wait a minute. Hold on. You're holding on to that mentally. And that's how society is. If they get injured at one time, that injury is for the rest of their lives. Where you're the... You got always. That's just the way it goes. That's what happens to us. But you mentally go, I'm not going to settle down. I'm not going to stop. I'm going to find other ways to do it, which is brilliant. And the way you're doing it is smart, too. Mostly the other aspects of the swimming, still working around the boxing, but doing it with water. Those are just great ideas, man. And for all your listeners or my listeners that are going to hear this, that is smart.
Thanks, Mike. I think I've had my praise for the day. I feel really good about that. I do. You know, with that being said, I want to let the people know something about you, and I'd like you to elaborate on this a little bit. Yeah. I know you're a huge UFC fan. Of course, you work with Michael Bisping, you work with Rampage, you said, and others. You're tough as nails, and I say that because people don't know you have a very strong background in judo. And can you explain your martial arts background, and did you ever consider fighting in MMA over the 24 years that we've been in existence, or 27 years we've been in existence?
I started with Jeet Kune Do as a kid and karate, did tournament fighting then. And then I ran into a guy, an incredible judo player, one of our best ever, Mike Swain. Mm-hmm. Mike says, you gotta make the switch, because I also wrestled and stuff. And we switched over to judo, and I competed in judo and had fun with it and kicked some butt on it. And it's one of those things where, again, I was raised in a family of 10, and my dad and mom both did martial arts. My dad was a bodybuilder also. And so we were bred to be gladiators. And by the time I was, 20, I already got American Gladiators and was competing in powerlifting, bodybuilding, and martial arts. And I just continued that pattern of keeping it in a lifestyle of that. So it's a great thing. I may look one way, but the great thing about it is after somebody fights me on Battle Dome or Gladiators or on the mats, they go, oh, okay. It's a little different.
It's a lot different, Mike, and it's a lot different from others that are bodybuilders, fitness experts and all, because I have to point something out. I mean this with all respect to everybody we see in the gym. But for the most part, when I see great bodybuilders from the past and fitness stars from the past, both men and women, when they're my age at 62 or when they're your age at 50 and about to go into their 50s, they just don't look that great. It's like all before. You have maintained an amazing physique that has done nothing but gotten better. The change is very, very little. It's just, it blows me away when I see you. Your positive attitude, the way you talk, and people can hear that from the way you're discussing these things with us on the show today. But what is it? Why is it? And I have to ask this because the subject comes up. Is that because they were living in the moment too much earlier, putting things in their body they shouldn't have to get to the point they wanted to, not thinking about the future, as you brought up earlier? Is it just bad training and bad diet? Is there a reason that there's not many people that look as good as you at your age that are in your business?
Yeah, I think there was a couple things. One is that I started at such a young age that I had one aspect already completed. By the time I was 17, my dad had me stop competing against teenagers and only compete against men. So by 19, I was took second in powerlifting against the men. So I was already extremely strong.
Right.
I was already doing martial arts. So I had a calmness to me, or a peaceful warriorness to me. And then understand that I grew up with dyslexia. And so from the start, I was already an outcast. I was already a reject. A forgotten child, in the sense of, you're going to be less than average. And I accepted the fact that I was odd and different, and I loved that aspect. And I, because I couldn't read well, I took to sports, and I lived in the moment of being different and unique. And so I loved the idea of challenges. And the one thing that I always did was I always competed in both drug-tested shows and against the guys that were taking stuff. And the one thing that I noticed is I could win both against them. And that just kind of, at a young age, made me go, hey, you know what? This may take me longer, but at least all the work that I do, all the work in the kitchen, eating right and training right, it may take me longer to get to where I want to get, but I get to keep everything that I'm putting on. And that was the one aspect I said, if I'm going to do this much work, why would I want to, you know, and you've been in the gym long enough, and everybody has. Mm-hmm. You're in the gym, and you see these guys, and they look incredible for 3 months out of the year. And then suddenly they disappear and they get skinny and fat, or they get really strong and then they lose it again.
Mm-hmm.
It was just never, I never wanted to lose the strength. I never wanted to lose the work I put in. And the hardest thing for anybody is to say, well, in 30 years, how much muscle did I put on a year? 0.7.
Mm-hmm.
I put on 0.7 muscle a year. Now, everybody knows that, or at least somewhat know that you can put on about 5 or 7 pounds of muscle. Everybody can. But as you get older, you start to lose it.
Mm-hmm.
And I stayed consistent. And so it was the accepting of my path has taken a long time. If that so I accepted the long path. And now I can enjoy the benefits from that at this stage. Instead of trying to rush it at such a young age.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that it's very important that at that young age, because you started bodybuilding at 14, as you said, and you won the Teenage Washington State competition early. And, you know, it basically you kept that consistent. And that's what I see. It's like, you know what? Here's what I compare that to. You look at great fighters as well as mixed martial artists and boxers. You look at certain boxers and you say, like, for instance, Sugar Ray Leonard, right? He's in shape 365 days a year and still is at the age of, you know, almost 60 or whatever he is right now. You look at mixed martial artists that can take the call to arms at a moment's notice because they stay in shape all year long. When you go through those swings in your body, it's like swings at a poker table. You're either winning or you're losing. And I think once that swing happens, you're not winning, you're losing. So the consistency is key. And that's what you've done since you were 14. You're talking 36 years of knowing what you're doing, being consistent about it and maintaining and not just living in the moment.
It's a tough thing to do.
It's a very, very, very tough
thing. We know that. We know that. And you know, we've known each other so long. We used to play, we had the first UFC game, didn't we?
Uh-huh.
On Game Boy or whatever over your house.
Dreamcast.
Dreamcast. There you go. Man, and so we've known each other a long time, and the one great thing about it is you, and just me talking to you and being on today, I want to say thank you first, but also just you've grown so much. The world knows you, but you have stayed the same guy, which I love.
Thank you, Mark. You're
the same guy, down to earth, regardless of how massive you've become globally. And how big UFC has come, you've never walked in with the upturned nose, man. I'm happy to call you a friend.
Thank you, Mike. And I throw that right back at you because I say the same thing about you. And yes, we've known each other a very long time and it's been a pleasure the whole time and motivating at the same time. And thank you that, you know, that makes, again, you made my day twice. There's two types of ego in life, Mike, and one is constructive, which I believe you have and I have because we have large egos. The other is conceited, which I don't like, and that's a sense of false ego where people think they're better than the people around them at times and not really looking at the reality of the situation. So I feel that the way for me to prove that I'm better than somebody is in my performance, right? But as a human being, I'm equal to everybody, and I give everybody the time of day, and that's just – I can't change that. That's how I was raised. And you say the same thing. To be great, and whatever life we choose to be great in, whether a busboy, an attorney, an actor, or a bodybuilder, is to be humble and enjoy where you're at and appreciate and respect others. Just my attitude.
I agree with you, man. 100%.
Now, another thing, too, is you and your beautiful wife, Midja. And please, I want to make sure I'm saying your name correctly.
Oh, it's Mona.
Mona. But Mona. Okay.
Mona.
Mona. There
Stay
we go.
Stay with me. Stay with me on that.
I'm
one.
With you. I'm with you. Mona. Pardon me. Mona. Oh gosh. That she's gonna hit me now. Sorry about that.
That's all right.
You love animals, right?
Yes. Yeah. You big time.
Big time. You always have your dog in Golds, which was actually a first. I don't think anybody brought a dog or animal into Golds until you did, which I love. I think it's great. Great. Now, I don't mean to bring up a sore subject. Did you lose one of your animals recently and you got a new
one? I did.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I didn't get a new one. But yeah, I had, for those that don't know me, I had three pups. And I had two dogs from a photo shoot for Muscle and Fitness. And this is in, believe it or not, 2000, the cover shoot for Muscle and Fitness in 2000, they brought two puppies to the set and I was shooting with them and you're going, wait a minute, it's 2019. I know it's 2019. My pup lived for 19 years and, she just passed away. So yes, it was a huge thing to me. She was my first adult dog, but she was with me through, losing my mom. Cancer, to losing my dad from cancer, and just the ups and downs of the last 20 years.
Yeah.
But I lost her. But you know what the great thing about that was? It was, or how society, I don't know how my fans view me. They understand that I don't walk with an ego. I'm not a tough guy in any sense, and I'll put my feelings out there. But the, me going through that struggle of losing my puppy, man, what did it do to society and people out there? And it is an amazing thing how you can help people by being you, if that makes sense to you guys. It's not me trying to hide or do something else, but it was me going through this pain of losing somebody that was my best friend for 20 years and longer with me, longer than anybody else at, and doing that and struggle of that. It was an incredible support from the world around that. So that was a sad thing, but the world kind of made it easier on me. And it was incredible to see the feedback from people, fans and friends, or I call them my Titans, that would just write up and go, man, I felt the pain for you. And I also went through that and didn't know how to react. And watching you and how you were honest and reacted to it really helped me understand that pain. So it was a painful thing, but a very learning moment. But yeah.
Beautifully explained. I loved seeing you with your dog, and all I can say is I understand because I'm an animal lover and I've been through a couple situations similar myself. I am sorry to hear about your parents passing from that horrible C word. But you know what? It all makes us stronger. It must make you stronger to be a better person. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think the puppy you see me with is Striker, and Striker and I started 10 years ago visiting Children's Hospital, and I got her trained as a hospice dog. And so that is why 10 years ago, I got to start bringing her with me, traveling the United States or in Canada, and then also into Gold's Gym, because she was one of the first to do this. And so that's why I know some people don't understand it. Why does this guy have his dog with him? There's a story to it. And the story is that we do charity work every time we travel to locations, and we visit hospitals, and we visit the Children's Hospital, and I work with the Shriners Children's Hospital, and we raise money for them and try to give back and try to help. And so it's not just some guy walking around with a dog, but we're trying to do good here.
And you do, Mike, you do very well. And getting back to your beautiful animals, Rudyard Kipling, one of my favorite poets ever, the historical poet, he wrote a poem called The Power of the Dog, which all dog lovers should read. You can Google it. And there's one line in there, to give your heart to a dog to tear. And that's not about it tearing it in a bad way. Yeah. It's because you're so, I mean, let's face it, it's your best friend, you know, like you said, and totally understandable.
You gave me tingles on that one. You give me tingles, brother.
Read the poem.
I got to read that.
Read the poem. Tingle more. It's a beautiful thing. Mike, you're a very fascinating guy. I mean, I've even got to know you a little better here than all the times we talk back and forth. And I really appreciate your being on the show. But Absolutely. The aspects of what you're preaching, this is called living a good life. It's called being a good person, living a good life, and sharing yourself with others so they can better themselves in their own ways too. And that's an attitude that I have very strong, and I commend you for it. Do me a favor. How do people get to you to get on the Titan program? And explain, how do you become a Titan? How does somebody do that?
Well, you can follow me on any kind of social media, Mike O'Hearn, M-I-K-E-O-H-E-A-R-N. And if you are following me on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, or just emails at mike@mikeohearn.com, you can, first of all, start a healthy nutrition plan. I have an app for that that helps you do that. And there's even extra stuff. There's workout plans. If you want to train 4 days a week, or you're crazy like me and want to train 6 days a week, I have workout plans for you. And the great thing is it's affordable. It's not these $1,000 programs. It's $7 a month. Mm-hmm. And anybody can get $7. You just give up your latte for a day. And then on top of that, what I do is I have a private Titan Crew Facebook page where I talk to everybody worldwide once a week, and we just talk about their nutrition and their training. And more importantly, that you can't get on an app, is I talk about working around the things that you and I talked about. Hey, I got a bad injury. Hey, I have a death in the family. I don't know what to do at this stage. Let's continue forward. Let's be positive. Let's focus on yourself and try to deal with this pain. So it's a wide range of me trying to help people stay healthy and fit when they're going through the hardest times in their lives, or they're just, everything's great and they just want to get in shape. It's as simple as that.
Awesome. Everybody check Mike out on Instagram, Mike O'Hearn, O-H-E-A-R-N. And Mike, again, my best to you and my best wishes to Mona. Please.
Absolutely. I will see you guys in Dubai.
What? I just mean Abu Dhabi.
Abu Dhabi. Well, I'll be in both. But yes, I will be at the UFC in Abu Dhabi, so you guys can meet me there as well. I will be going on over there. We just locked that deal down.
Awesome.
And awesome. Yeah, so we get to travel together for the first time now.
Oh, that's so great.
This is great.
I love it. I plan on being in Abu Dhabi at least possibly. I think I get there Thursday through Sunday. So let me know when you're there and let's try to, you know, get together, because it's
you're not going to have no time, kid.
I know. Come on. I know. That's my usual story. And you're right about that. Have you been to Abu Dhabi?
10 times. I love it.
So, you know, the routine.
And it's just, it's a great place. It's a very futuristic. I mean, you know it.
Yeah.
You love amazing. It. It's amazing. It's a great place to go.
Sounds great. Mike, what about film and TV? Anything coming up? Is it something you just
opened? Oh, yeah. We just finished up production on the Manson Brothers. This will be a movie that's coming out Halloween. Mm-hmm. So you get to see Radiant Bobby. I play Radiant Bobby. Max Martinez, the director and producer of this one. So it's a great project. And we booked another two projects after that. It's a great one. I get to play a Navy SEAL, a jacked up Navy SEAL. And then we just finished a deal with Generation Iron, to do a big life story. So we got, three projects in the works right now. And, you know me, I love this television, videos, movies, all that kind of fun stuff.
Yeah, I know it. And you're doing it, and all the success and best wishes to you. I'm so impressed. Again, watching somebody for as long as I've watched you and the progression and evolutionary process of your career is fascinating and a pleasure to view. So congratulations, Mike. You're doing it right, and you're helping others do it right too, which means you're a really good person. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, brother.
All right, Mike. You take care. Please say hi to Mona, and I will see you in Goals. When are you back in LA?
I am back on Friday. And very, I know you're not back Friday, right?
I leave
you're
Friday.
You're out. Yeah. I'm back and you're gone.
I'll be back on Sunday, though. It's all good. Hey, your podcast. That. Tell people about your podcast.
Mornings with Titan. It's very new, but it exploded. And it's always about those guests, right?
Yep.
So we've had some incredible people. We had Don Rosso from the Navy SEAL 6, SEAL Team 6, sorry. Same ones that brought down Bin Laden and Rampage Jackson and Michael Bisbee. And we got just a great crew of people coming in. And here's the fun thing. I know you're going to enjoy this. So they have to come work out with me at 4 a.m. and then they have breakfast and then we sit down on the podcast and we do it up. And I'm going to get you in there at some point. I'm going to get your butt up early.
No problem. Hey, listen, I used to be a Dawn Patrol surfer almost every day of my life. I can get up at 4 a.m.
True.
Yeah,
true.
It's It's all good. I look forward to it, Mike. I would really enjoy that.
Thanks, guys.
All right, champ. Go do some good work on the celluloid film of life and have a great day. And all my best to you, brother. I'll see you when you get back in town.
Done deal, man. Talk soon.
Take care, Mike.
There he is.
Fascinating, isn't it?
Yeah, like I said, with every word, my self-esteem just went down a little bit.
I mean, very far-fetched to find anybody that walks around consistently, as he explained, you know, with his the way he looks, the way he trains, the way everything. But it's really cool to hear he's a role model to others. And think about something, TJ. 30,000 members, $7 a month. That's all I'm going to say. The man is a successful businessman, and I admire that. And he started from scratch. I think it's awesome. Very awesome.
Yeah, I need to figure out how to get the 30,000 people signed up to my Patreon. By the way, patreon.com/betweenrounds people. Get over there. Best post-fight radio show in the business.
I think you just got 6 new members on your way to 30,000 in the last 30 seconds.
We'll find out. If that's true, check's in the mail, Buff.
Awesome. Awesome. All right, TJ. Last week, we had the San Antonio show. And I have to say again that the UFC is consistently putting out awesome shows. The fights that occurred on this, I mean, there were some pretty interesting bouts here. Andre Arlovsky now on his way to potentially maybe getting a shot at a championship again. He's probably one of the longest fighters that's been fighting in the heavyweight division for years.
UFC champion. 28. That's when he made his debut.
It's amazing. And I think he's fought like 4 times in the last year and 2 months. He's always there ready to go.
He's the only man, to my knowledge, to get a check that says SEG, maybe you. Right? No way.
I'm the other one. Yes. Yep. SEG or Zuffa. Yeah. One of the very few people who can claim they made checks both ways.
Well, now even like the new company, it may still be Zuffa, but you know, it's a different company. So you and Andre Arlovsky, I think that's the trivia question. Who is the only man to work for every ownership group of the Ultimate Fighting Championship?
Yeah. It's a very interesting question. No question. Saw some interesting performances from some really good up and comers here. Jinsu Son, Jennifer Maya, Glitzen Abreu. Interesting, very interesting. The Raquel Pennington Irene Aldana fight, I thought, was an excellent fight. Boy, those ladies went at it. Alex Cacera, Steven Peterson putting on the show. James Vick and Dan Hooker. Dan Hooker coming in, just consistently keeping that record moving with his wins. Greg Hardy and Juan the Kraken Adams. Wow, that's one. But you know what? You know what's really impressive? I think one of the best combinations I've ever seen thrown in the octagon in my life was Walt Harris with the flying knee and the left punch to follow through. Left cross or left hook. I forget exactly what it was.
Dude.
But wow.
I mean, his nickname is the Big Ticket. He's a big reason you're going to buy a ticket when he comes to town. Let me just say that.
Yep. Big upcoming star in the heavyweight division. No question. He's got it written all over him. And Walt's got the it factor. You know what I mean by that. Not everybody has the it factor. Walt Harris, in and out of the octagon, personality-wise, and my impression from knowing him in the time that I've known him, has the it factor. And I hope he capitalizes on it and shines for people to see and follow in his steps. So now you have Rafael dos Anjos coming in, Leon Edwards. Leon Edwards showed me more in this fight Saturday night than I've ever seen him, though he always shows me everything in his fights. But he is a complete mixed martial artist. That's what I saw right there, more than ever. Do you agree?
I did not expect him to win that fight. He did 49-46, I think is the right scorecard, and that is domination of a former champion, Rafael dos Anjos. So Leon Edwards, much more than just the guy who got in a scuffle with Jorge Masvidal in the back.
Yep. What does he call that? Three-piece in a soda, right, exactly. Okay, well, he took that and he turned into a big win, and he's on his way, too. We're going into Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, Rogers Place. Looking forward to the show. Frankie Edgar, Max Holloway, UFC featherweight championship title on the line. Hoa. Frankie Edgar, another one, amazing me for the longest time. Chris Cyborg, Felicia Spencer, Chris Cyborg stepping back into the octagon at featherweight. Everybody wants to see Chris Cyborg fight. Looking forward to that. Nico Price, Jeff Neal, Olivier Aubin-Mercier against Armand Sukayan. I'm going to get that name correctly when I get in there. And a very interesting show. Canadian fighters on the card, going down to the prelims. Looking forward to it. UFC 240 pay-per-view. I'll see you from the Octagon Saturday for that. Let's go into some other news and sports. Boxing tragically had another death in the ring. Maxim Dadashev, he's dead at 28 years old. I'm so sorry to hear this. After in-ring injuries from his fight, he went into a coma during a fight last Friday evening. He has passed away, and it was announced on Tuesday. My condolences and best wishes go out to his family and loved ones. Always tragic. Boxing, at one point, I think the average was 5 or more boxers a year. And it's so funny. I'm not saying funny about the story, but as I'm talking about the story, Kristen just sent me an email saying this is a good story to talk about on the podcast to pay homage to this boxer of the past as we're talking about it. So it used to be 5 or more deaths a year. I don't know if that tally still stands in boxing, but tough sport, TJ, tough sport.
I mean, combat sports are dangerous. And
combat sports, yeah.
Unfortunately, from time to time, we are reminded that in the darkest of ways. And yeah, sad to see this latest example of that. And, you know, best to his family.
Exactly. Now, another thing, and it's not a combat sport. It's called baseball. But did you hear the story this weekend that the Yankees' Luke Voit took a 91-mile-an-hour baseball fastball to the face and stayed in the game?
Damn.
He took a baseball to the face, temporarily stayed in the game, and even ran the bases right afterward. That's a tough dude.
Yeah, I'm surprised his face isn't broken.
It says it made contact with the front of his face, grazing his lip and chin. It looked a lot worse.
I guess that's where you'd want to get hit. I mean, you don't want to lose your teeth and stuff, but that's way better than taking it off the skull.
Yeah, you could die.
Yeah.
And speaking of which, this is another story that it's horrible. Okay, to say the least, it's horrible. I can't even imagine what this man is going through. But a 6-year-old Utah girl was golfing with her dad. Okay, she was actually killed by a golf ball that hit her, right? The horrible thing is her father's the one that hit the golf ball.
Oh, no.
Yep.
God, how?
Here's what I say. I'm going to go into the story here. I'm going to have to read this to tell it correctly. I don't want to just talk about it. It says, 6-year-old girl died Monday after she was struck in the head by a golf ball that her father hit. She was sitting in a parked golf cart on a path to the left, and her father was teeing off. They were at the Sleepy Ridge Golf Course in Utah. She was flown to a hospital in critical condition. The young girl was her consistent golfing buddy for her dad. They did this all the time. And the incident is being investigated as a tragic accident. They're not pursuing charges. They've not released the name of the girl and her father. But my gosh, this girl has to live. The father has to live with the loss of his daughter at his own mishap for the rest of his life. That's tough, TJ. That's tough.
I mean, that level of depression is one I don't think you ever crawl out of.
Yeah, in some way, shape, or form. I'll give you another incident here. I went golfing with Henry and his dad, Chris, the other day, a couple weeks ago, right? So I'm standing there about 40 yards in front of Henry, my 14-year-old godson. He hits the ball, slams me right in the shoulder. Had I caught that ball in the head, because it hurt, TJ, I'll be honest with you, it hurt. Had I caught that and put a mark on the shoulder, had I caught that in the head, I probably would have been knocked out.
Standing directly in front of him?
I was to the side. I wasn't directly in front. The ball took a turn and hit me in the shoulder, which you got to be careful when you're on the golf course. Now, his father, Chris, was sitting in the golf cart, and other guys were coming the other direction. You know how you go to the end, you turn around, and the holes are going the other direction. And this crew was at least 50 yards away, and they hit a line drive while Chris is sitting in the golf cart like this poor young girl was, and he had glasses on. TJ, the ball missed his face, went by the front of his face, glass eye level. I would say it missed him by 2 inches in front of his face.
All right, I'm never golfing again.
Yeah, and I'm not bringing this up. This happened.
I know, and I'm saying right now, like, maybe I'm never going to go golfing again. This is all terrifying.
Yeah, it's a little.
I really like golfing too. You're ruining it for me, Buff. Come on now.
Just learn how to say the. What do you say? Four.
Four.
Say four. That's crazy. All right. You know, we heard about Lee Murray, the biggest heist, you know, that he was part of, and all the past that went on there. But get this, $5 million worth of gold was seized by United Kingdom police on the trail of a drug cartel. You see these gold bricks. It's crazy. They were seized at London Heathrow Airport by Border Force officials who were doing an investigation. It's basically 229 pounds of gold was on its way to Switzerland from the Cayman Islands when it was seized. No arrests have been made, but that's a lot of gold, baby. That's a lot of gold.
Yeah. How do you smuggle that? Like, how do you think you're going to get away with that?
Yeah, how do you do that? 229 pounds. It doesn't make sense. So gold will now form forms a large part of the international money laundering investigation that these Cayman authorities are working on. So that's why they went after it. And in 2017, a Heathrow security worker was charged with attempting to import cocaine worth up to 480,000 pounds, roughly $600,000 into the UK from South America. A lot of action going on in Heathrow.
Apparently, I guess. Yeah. Like, wow. And that's the stuff we hear about, Buff. What actually gets through?
We don't hear about everything, and you know that.
No, of course. Great. Well, I'm also saying, what does nobody notice that gets smuggled successfully?
Well, here's something that's going to blow you away again, and there's some bizarre stories that we're covering here. Workers were removing shelves and coolers, right, from a former what they call no-frills supermarket in Council Bluffs, Iowa, right? And they were doing this in January. So while they were doing it, they discovered a body. They discovered a body behind it. And it turned out to be a former employee who worked at the market who has been missing for 10 years.
They were there the whole time?
There the whole time, TJ.
What?
The whole time. 10 years, dead.
How do you miss that?
They think he fell into an 18-inch gap between the back of the cooler and the wall, and he became trapped, right? And because the noise from the cooler's compressors were so loud, they figured that it probably concealed his attempts to call for help.
Okay, and it's cool, right? So
then the body didn't
decompose properly.
Right.
Right. Oh, right. Man.
Yep.
Oh, man. But I mean, here's the problem, for me at least. Logic would tell you somebody knew he was at work, right?
Mm-hmm.
The next day, no one sees him. Mm-hmm. So his last known whereabouts would have been work.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't anybody look around work?
Well, you know, again, they removed this area. It's not like would you think to look behind a compressor or a cooler in an 18-inch gap thinking that that's where he was? Would it even occur to you?
I mean, if that was his last known whereabouts, maybe a cursory glance.
Well, the investigators feel that when he went to the supermarket, he climbed on top of one of the coolers, which is used as storage for merchandise. And he said that sometimes employees would go there to hide when they wanted to take an unofficial break. So who knows? It's tragic, but just, oh my God, that's crazy. Crazy.
Yeah, I don't know.
All right, let's get into the world of film and TV. Okay, The Lion King grossed $185 million at the box office despite bad reviews this weekend. It's swimming in money, makes one of the best openings ever. $185 million. Crazy. John Wick 3. I saw it when I was on the road in San Antonio. I've been waiting to see this. Going to watch it with the boys because they're on John Wick 1 and 2. They can't wait to see 3. I'm going to see it again. You know why? Damn good. Good movie. Action nonstop. It went to the next level. And Halle Berry kicks butt. I got to tell you, Halle Berry was at a recent UFC. She looked great. She's, you know, she played Catwoman and she's always out there ready to get physical. But man, she put in her work for this movie. This is really, really good. I don't want to give anything away. If you're a John Wick series franchise fan, go see it. All right, everybody. Comedy pays a lot of money, TJ. Eddie Murphy has not been doing stand-up comedy forever. He's itching to get back on stage to perform comedy. Netflix is handing out big money to people for comedy. Dave Chappelle scored $60 million for 3 stand-up specials. That's $20 million each. Chris Rock got $40 million. For 2 specials the year before. They expect Eddie Murphy's deal, and the negotiations are working right now. It's not firm to confirm the exact figure, but they're talking $70 million to do a comedy special for Netflix. How about that?
How do they make that money? I mean, I'm I'm outing myself here.
Monthly, but, monthly hey, memberships.
Yeah, but I have Netflix, but I don't pay for it. You know what I mean?
How do you not pay for Netflix?
My buddy's got Netflix. He gives me his password. I give him my password something else.
Well, that's not breaking the law. He's borrowing your friend's account. You know?
But here's the thing. How do they pay $70 million when I'm not the only one sharing a password?
Right now, people that have had movies direct to big theaters, such as Adam Sandler, others I can name, Sylvester Stallone, I'll go on and on and on. They're making movies direct to Ben Affleck. They're making movies direct to Netflix, who's paying big bucks, and it's big money. Now, I'm going to tell you something that I'm working on. I shouldn't tell you.
Don't tell me.
I'm going to be announcing something of my involvement in the world of comedy, and I will be making this announcement in the next 30 to 60 days. Now, I'm going to leave it at that. How's that?
We're taking this road show, or we're taking the show on the road. Coming to a comedy club near you, the It's Time podcast.
No comment. But maybe soon, it's time for comedy. That's all I'm going to tell you. That's it. We'll leave it at that. Okay, working on it. Work in progress. We talked about this on the show recently, I think just a couple weeks ago, about the three original NASA moon landing videos that were going up for auction and the prediction about what they were going to sell for.
Right.
Right? Okay. And that was the one that the guy found, like he just held on to it forever. Okay. The auction just happened, TJ. And as usual, what do you think they sold for?
I have no idea.
$1.82 million.
Wow.
Videotapes, TJ. Three.
That were fabricated in a basement in Hollywood.
Thank you, Eddie Bravo. Is he on the show? Is he there with you?
No, he's not here. It's in my contract at EBI to say things like that.
Of course. And by the way, I didn't tell you. I went to the Tuesday night comedy show up at the Comedy Store that a lot of our friends, Joe Rogan and others, Tony Hinchcliffe, are in. And I saw Eddie Bravo's act for the first time.
Have you seen him do it? I have not seen it. I've heard great things, though.
It was great. It was really good. I kind of felt like the older brother looking at the young. Yeah, I've known him for so long, and I just was so proud of him, TJ. I was laughing my ass off. He was funny. He's comfortable. He does it well. He's working at his craft. It's not easy doing stand-up. And if people get a chance to see Eddie Bravo, I'm telling you, go see him. He's funny.
Yeah, he's a funny guy.
Okay, our feel-good story before we end the show. Thieves stole $9 from a girl's lemonade stand that she had up for charity. Is that disgusting? In Naperville, Illinois, she's an 11-year-old girl. She sets up a stand in her family's neighborhood, right? She's selling refreshments to benefit Feeding America, which is a national network of food banks. After she took in $9, a group of teenagers grabbed the money basket and drove off with it. She was absolutely devastated, it says, right? Which I could just imagine. You know the nice thing, TJ? Police and neighbors rallied, and they gave her more than $300, which she was able to give to her charity to light up her life and help her get through that little instance, that horrible instance that she went through. So it didn't have the effect it could have had, although I'm sure it had an effect on her. But I just find this to be a feel-good story. That's police and neighbors rallying to raise the money.
This is awesome. When I hope karma's a real thing.
Yes.
You know? And if it is, karma's a bitch.
Well, good. So we'll see what happens to them. On that note, we'll keep it on the feel-good side. Again, everybody, we're having another record month for the videos and audio introduction recordings, business recordings, podcast recordings, getting a lot of podcast recordings, requests, birth of babies, you name it. Just send your request, whatever it might be, through brucebuffer.com. The championship intros, the prices are set. The order form is on the site. We made them very inexpensive for you. We've not changed the prices for over 2 years, and it was a special we ran at that Christmas 2 years ago. No reason to change the prices. It's my way of giving back to the UFC fans. And for your purchases, again, partial proceeds go to animal, military, and children's charities. UFC 239 cards just sold at auction with the Jorge Masvidal, Ben Askren fight card selling for $1,700. The other cards following. Very good auction. That is benefiting the Lost Dogs Foundation in Santa Monica, California, where I know the money goes directly to take care of these beautiful animals that are looking to be adopted. Again, that's the Lost Dog Foundation in Santa Monica, California. Check it out. TJ, anything to tell the audience before we sign off?
No, just go sign up. I need more than 6 more people on my Patreon, patreon.com/between rounds. We just started working with Dean Thomas. Who else is over there? King Mo LaWall. Former Strike Force champ. So some personalities that people are aware of. I'm going to try to bring in some more people very soon. So support our cause, patreon.com/betweenrounds.
Absolutely support it. It's a great thing you got going on there, TJ. Thanks to Michael Hearn for being on the show. TJ, thank you for being my co-host on the show and producer. 11 plus years now, and we will be back next week with another solid show on It's Time Radio. Everybody, have a great week. TJ, you have a great week too, okay, my friend? I will see you all from the Octagon on Saturday in Edmonton, Canada, for an exciting show, as it has been consistently with the UFC. With that being said, everybody, set your goals, write them down. Be a role model to your sphere of influence. Learn everything you can about your goals, so when you step on the path, you are the best you can be. And that is because you're winning at that point. That's what we talk about in It's Time. We talk about winning. We talk about being the best you can be. And I want you all to have a great week. Be back next week for another fun show. Buffer out.
Total Wine & More announces points with a purpose. Now through September 13th, collect 5x points on wines and spirits. Points earned equals a matching donation to local charities. Up to $2 million in total. Shop with us today or visit TotalWine.com. Terms and conditions apply. Total Wine & More announces points with a purpose. Now through September 13th, collect 5x points on wines and spirits. Points earned equals a matching donation to local charities. Up to $2 million in total. Shop with us today or visit TotalWine.com. Terms and conditions apply.